Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. Tonight, we're beginning this special introduction session of the information guide on the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, that is, white supremacy. And welcome to the program, and thank you all for listening. Charles and my wife Elevate is on the wheels of steel. Say hello.
Hello, Brother Charles. We also have Brother Amin. Welcome. Hey, what's up?
All right. Well, we're on page 20 of the book, the beginning of the introduction. It's a lot of material in this introduction. We're not going to get too bogged down in all the details because there are, it's a lot of material. We want to pretty much expose you to the just the general areas of relevance. Not that any of it is irrelevant, but I guess when you buy the book, you can get in tune with all the fine points of each issue. And I do encourage you to buy the book from Neil Fuller through many outlets that are available online, Amazon, your local African bookstore, or whatever.
Mr. Fuller's book is not available through those outlets. It's only available directly through him. You have to purchase it. He distributes it himself, and there are order forms online, but you have to print it and you have to send it to him. There's an order form that can be found for him at the Woman's Song Facebook page at facebook.com/womansong. Once there, you can look into the section of photos, the album that's called Guests on the Woman's Song Community Experience. And there you can print the order form, mail it to him, and he will mail your book. Very quickly, actually. The turnaround is relatively quickly. So that's the way you have to do it.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm surprised. I've seen it on Amazon, so they don't. It's just listed on there. No books are available, huh?
Well, he doesn't sell through there, and no one else distributes his books. So maybe someone had a book and maybe sold, maybe they were selling it used or something like that. But he doesn't have, he said that no one distributes his books but him.
Yeah, I understand. They probably bought a few or something, but they're not an official distributor yet. I understand. Like, Amazon is like a distributor, right? But they're not contracted to do that. I got you. Thank you for clearing that up. Appreciate that.
No problem. Okay. That's what I do.
All right. All right. We talked about these guys talking about the three basic types of people in the known universe. White
mm-hmm.
people, non-white people, and white supremacists.
Okay.
And we're going to generally gloss over these two different categories. White people are those who classify themselves as white, and they are accepted by other white people who are classified as white as white. Like people who pass and whatnot. Whatever. If you recognize as white, then you're considered white.
Mm-hmm.
On visual. Non-white are those people who have been classified as non-white and are generally functioning as non-white in their relationships with each other and with those people who are classified as white. And the white supremacist racist, interesting category, he defines as those who classify themselves as white and who generally function as white. That's a very good definition of that they generally do. And who practice racism subjugation against people classified as non-white at any time, any place. And that's a good one because I could interpret that definition as people who classify themselves as white and who generally function as white. But I would add those who generally classify themselves as white, because some people who are not white, considered or non-white, they can also practice racism as supremacy.
That's right.
That's right. That'll be my addition right there. These are four basic motivating factors in people behavior in the known universe. Racism, the reaction to racism, sexual expression, and the reaction to sexual expression.
Mm-hmm.
And here, in this section, he summarized that no other social material forces by people affect so many people in many places as much in as many diverse areas of activity as the factors of racism and sex. Which I find curious. I would like to know why sex was separated from the other areas of people's activity and paired with racism. That'd be interesting to find out. And then on page 24, he lists two basic problems among people in the known universe: the lack of knowledge and understanding and the reason for the existence and non-existence. So why do things exist? No, why do some things, like basic questions of, I guess, existentialism that people ponder. And then number two was racism. I would say that those are generally just two basic problems people have, but I would put racism number one and the other number two, only because when people under racism, they don't seem to think about why they exist and all those kinds of things. They just pretty much respond to racism for the most part. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
That's what I think. I was trying to figure out why those would be separate as well. You know, why he would separate effects from.
Yeah, the other nine areas, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was curious. Yeah. That was, why did he do that? Because I felt that sex was just as much important as any other form of expression. You know? And the reaction to that, I think he's trying to say reaction to sexual expression from white people.
Yeah.
And that's what he's getting, even though he doesn't. And I skipped over, I just went straight to the summary, but I think, all these other areas are expressions as well. But I think maybe he wants to focus in the way white people are racist want to impose sexuality, but they impose war, they impose economics, you know. And racism and white supremacy is all about ethnic imposition on everything.
We have another, I'm sorry, Charles, to cut you off. We have another person joining the meeting. It's Ms. Lotz. Welcome to the meeting tonight. You're welcome. And I wanted to share a comment in the chat room. Bianchi says that racism is not a major problem for blacks today as it was in past times.
Okay, that's very interesting, and thank you for that comment. And we won't be addressing any nonsense today. All right, back to the list. He explains that every problem among people of the known universe can today be traced to, number one, a lack of understanding of the reason for their existence, and number two, the reaction to racism in the form of white supremacy. Well, I would argue that while this is true, I would just reverse the order of the importance or priority, and racism never existed before the 3rd century BC. There was never any concept. You had ethnic elitism. But people may think, you know, their group may be better or more advanced, or they may have a better esoteric spiritual doctrine or something, you know, a superiority in that sense. But racism that we live under, where people group is destined to dominate and oppress another group in every way and for all time, you know. Every group that they encounter that doesn't have that same complexion, that's a revolutionary idea that's never been known before. You know, when people study ancient cultures, they would see that kind of ideology develop. And it is truly amazing. It's a diabolical masterpiece. Racism. We should be in awe of its craftiness, not in all fear like we live under, but more of it's an impressive work of devilment. Anybody else have any comments on that?
Oh, this is something else. There's never been anything like this.
Never been. Yeah, when you study a lot of, you'll see, and you can see groups, you know, people try to, you know, say, oh, we the best, or we the best, but this right here is totally different. This is really different. And nothing has warranted this much understanding and study, you know, but it needs to be studied. Two basic classes of people in the known universe. He has, number one, a powerful class. The white supremacists and the powerless class, all non-white people, and those white people who are not white supremacists. You hear that? It's all non-white people. He says all non-white people, and those white people who are not white supremacists. So that's true. If you're white and you are considered white, and you are practicing white supremacy, you don't have any power. That's right, and the white supremacy. There ain't nobody listening to you. So if you're white and you say, hey, I don't believe in white supremacy, you know, you need to stop telling us to stop talking about white supremacy because you think it's not a reality. Because, you know, you are delusional, and it's nobody's paying attention to you, and, you know, you're left. Explanation for this, he adds. He says, since establishing of white supremacy racism among the people, the terms upper class, middle class, and lower class have become so meaningless that to use such terms to describe any people does not promote justice. And so he says, therefore, not best to use such terms to describe any people in existence in the known universe. I know, well, I guess what he's getting at, like, if you tell a black person who that lives in a certain economic status. And we'll say, hey, that guy's upper class. But in the white supremacy, his money does not, all his money only affords him certain material luxuries, but it doesn't give him any social or political power. And so someone who may be considered classified as white of a lower economic caste has more power in the white supremacist system merely by his ethnic affiliation in the white supremacist structure. Anybody have any comments on that?
Well, we saw that with Mr. Gates. You know, he's
right.
Where the neighbor could just call and there'll be a response. The police wouldn't have responded like that to any other neighbor but him.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
He thought he had somewhat escaped a little bit just because of his his accomplishments in history. And he's a highly regarded professor. He's does a lot of good work in research and whatnot. He lives in a white neighborhood, but when they decided to call in police on him, he was back to being really black. They took him to jail just like they do the rest of them.
It reminds me of something that happened to me some years ago. I was military police, and I'm listening in on the radio, and they said our post commander was black, and they said there's some black guy running from something near the post commander's house, and I'm going to stop him. And they stopped him just like he was a regular Joe, and then turned out he was the post commander. You know, there was an assumption that he was running from something instead of jogging.
Right. Yeah. Right, man.
But he was a commander of the whole. He was a commander of the whole.
He's
a commander of the whole.
Any Negro thing moving hastily is considered a fugitive. That's the reality. I have an idea for an experiment I've been kicking around. I want to do. I want to see a black person in handcuffs with no shirt on, walking in a white man with no shirt on and handcuffs, and let's see what kind of response they get from an environment in the black community and an environment in the white community. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm, I think that is
something. I think on NBC, they'll put, the check racist situations and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
Somebody can't stop laughing. You know that would be a good one, wouldn't it?
what's even funnier is I was jogging in Denver on a track with shorts on, and the cop stops me on the track and asks me where I was running to, and that was in a white neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Where? What am I running from? And I'm like, I'm jogging with a Walkman on. Well, that was the old thing, with the tape and everything, the Walkman.
I remember that.
I guess all that's a replace right now. But what am I running from? I'm on the track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, so why is he asking, what am I running to? You know, that's where I'm running from.
But that wasn't necessarily racism as much as that was just...
racism.
Maybe
there
that was
go.
Just... that was instead of,
I know.
That,
a white person probably lost their Negro, and they need to make the all Negroes moving very fast or slow down.
No, let's be realistic. That was that particular day. You fit the description.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Right. That's all. Yeah. You have to just keep these things in, proper perspective.
Yeah, because if any crime was committed nearby, all local Negroes must be gathered to, give an account of their activities to make sure that they're not going to be patches in any particular crime. Because, you need a Negro to be a patch because every white person needs that, that
you know, study the scapegoat, you know. You know, everybody messes up every now and again. You know, you got to have that Negro to kind of, you know, throw the trail on, you know.
Okay. We have someone from the 314 who is online. Thank you for joining us tonight. What is your name, please?
Hey, this is Pianchi calling in.
Oh, from the 314. Okay, hi. Thank you for joining us on
I will listen
Beyond
to your
the Book
conversation.
Club. Uh-huh.
And what they call it, racism, I don't agree with that being racism.
Uh-huh.
And surely what you say white supremacy is. White supremacy has nothing to do with the way someone claim that they are better than somebody else. Or them individual actions. White supremacy is when whites control all your consumptive habits. And the only way you can defeat that is to compete against it. Racism has evolved into a social issue all of a sudden. It seemed like some of the examples you've given was based on how individuals feel about you. You know, according to the U.S. Constitution, U.S. citizens have a right to associate or disassociate with whoever they want to. So by them saying, I don't want to associate with you, that don't mean that they're racist. But if they
okay.
was to keep you from having access to increasing your wealth, increasing your economic status, I would call that racism. Because that's what it was
back in
the early part.
Are you saying that they don't do that anymore? They don't have any control over your social status?
Social status is them controlling your social status is not racism. If they prevent you from opening a business or becoming employed, if they prevent you from being promoted, that would be racist. But because, you know, whites always gonna racial profile, and can you blame them? Would you not do the same thing?
So you
thing?
Said that if they can stop these things, then that's racism. So you're saying that those things stopping you from getting jobs and all that, that's all stopped now?
That's racism. That's also against the law.
But does it go on, in your opinion?
Oh, sure, it goes on, but it's not a major problem of blacks in America today.
Really?
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that,
okay.
Those insights.
I have to disagree with that.
I appreciate that, but we got to go on to the next
section. I was
going to
ask, where does he live where he thinks that it does not go on anymore? I would like to move there. I don't see that where I am.
I don't see where I live
world.
Either. That must be a great place.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, my brother from 314. Appreciate that. Okay. The next section, well, Mr. Fuller goes on to describe at length the basic classes of people in the known universe. But we're going to save that for you all to cover when you get the book. Then he says the four basic types of power among people of the known universe is all power, that is power exercised by the known and unknown, that is any kind of deity or something that is perceived as God or creator. And number two, superior power, that is a political power that in current world today, we classify as racism or white supremacy. And number three is inferior power, that is power exercised by non-white people to exist in subjugation to the white supremacists. And he also dubs it a zero power. And number four, immediate power and individual power of elimination. He describes it as power exercised by any person, animal, insect, or whatever life form to directly cause the death of and serious injury to any person or any other life form. And he gives great examples of these various types of power And that's on page 28, 29. And in the next section, he covers one basic type of government in the known universe, which for the first time, this type is incorrect government. The incorrect government is any thought, speech, and or action by people that has not produced justice and correctness or righteousness in all areas of activity, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. There's no people in the known universe have produced a government that has eliminated injustice and unrighteousness in any area of activity. And said there is only incorrect government, so basically all governments from what he's describing are corrupt. Number two, I mean the second type, the basic racial system in the known universe. The racist speech and action and counter-racist speech and action. So the two basic racial systems in the known universe, either racist or non-racist. We're not talking about Matt in all times, but what he's getting at is right now. So, like when we listen to the news, you hear racist speech, even though it's all codified and it's not direct. There's a certain method and what they say administration or governments. They're talking about governments. Organized societies that function in the interest of white supremacy and call regimes those that are antagonistic to racism and white supremacy. And he goes on to give more explanation about that on the same page. And then the next issue he covers is four basic stages of racism. Now this is a Wang Dang Doodle here. That's right. I went in 1950s.
You have 3 minutes with which to Wang Dang and doodle it.
Oh, but we are going overtime, so you can go ahead and instruct people to call. Yeah.
Okay. If you're interested in hearing the last few minutes of the broadcast, you need to call 323-580-5707 to get in on the remainder of the program. Otherwise, we will see you next week on African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. That's it.
All right. So this issue is here. Right here is some of the. This is the meat and potatoes. Covers the entire spectrum of white supremacy that we should concern ourselves with, I'd say, for the remainder of this time, if we can. And there's four basic stages of racism, white supremacy. Number one, the establishment of white supremacy. So that's back to the beginning, which he doesn't discuss in this book, or ever that I've ever heard it. And the explanation for that is the establishment of white supremacy is the sum total of all speech or action by those per white persons who seek to dominate through the practice of racism those persons classified as non-white. Number two, the maintenance of white supremacy, which is the sum total of all speech and action by those white persons who practice racism and seek to continue to practice racism at all times and in one or more area of activity. Number three, expansion of racism. There's a sum total of all speech and action by those white persons who classify racism, who practice racism, and who do so in a manner that directly or indirectly helps promote the increase in the number of non-white persons made subject to racism. And number four, refinement of racism. The refinement of racism, the sum total of speech and action by those white persons who practice racism and white supremacy in a manner that improves methods that help make the practice of racism more efficient and more accessible to the victims. Now, I'm saying we at number four, we're at the fourth stage. Anybody, any book club members, any suggestions on this one? I mean, no commentary.
The refinement, where the victim doesn't even realize that it actually exists.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. We are right there. That's where we at. We no longer see that how powerful it is, and we have accepted it and think that it's almost a non-issue. Right.
With all due respect to Brother Panani, who called a few minutes ago, I think that was a prime example of it. We cannot see it. It has such a great impact on us that we've conditioned ourselves to believe that it's something other than what it is, or try to sugarcoat it, or, you know, mm-hmm. dress it up. You know,
I'm not sure what his point was, really. He continued in the chat room on the same line, trying to basically blaming the victim, saying that it's all our fault. Everything
right.
that we're doing is all our fault. And so
right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't get into that whole
blaming the victim. I understand what he's saying. What's happened is that his aspirations are guided by how he was reprogrammed. So what it's difficult to understand that just like he said, he mentioned opening up a business. Charles had read before, you're opening up a business that's functioning under the system of white supremacy, that's serving the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
So he where you're getting money confused with ultimate freedom and justice. But you were trained that way. We were
That's
all
right.
trained that way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It can't. Right. The racism is so well constructed. It's woven into
right.
the fiber of our total perception that we can't
right.
imagine living without it now. Some people talk about living in racism. They're like, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Right. That's exactly what I said. I said to him, I said that all of these symptoms that you're naming, because all of these things are essentially symptoms of the system. These were learned behaviors. They weren't contrived. Something that we just came up with because we, you know, didn't have anything else to do. Those were strategically put in place for us to react, you know, in the manner that we are right now. And so when you look at it like that, you cannot absolve the ones who planted the seed. How do you do that?
Right. Because, I mean, I would agree with a person to a certain extent, like that, let's say, phase one, establishing racism. My ancestors did have... I mean, they still had their right. They didn't know nothing about white supremacy. They were not white supremacists. They were black white supremacists. They didn't have that effect on their conscience. They knew that there were a view, and it was their job to preserve that and protect themselves from all threats of racism or whatever that's threatening to their culture. Now, just because you captured as an appeal by an enemy, you know, your job is not to just live through it. That's a problem my ancestors had. They figured we're going to just get through this. Well, what do you mean by getting through it? Because when I'm with somebody in an enemy situation, I'm captured. Heaven forbid that happens. I'm not interested in just living through this day to day for, you know, until I drop dead. Because I'm more concerned with destroying the ability of the enemy to get what it wants out of me. You know what I mean? If it's a label, it's a quarry. If they got me quarrying or something, I don't intend on quarrying all this stone so he can build whatever he needs. You know, but people love their lives so much, they'll do anything for another breath. No. And they're not dedicated to the struggle to oppose whatever it is that's hurting them. That's, you know, they just want to live. And that's what they get people at. They get people to just compromise on living. And that's how they got established. They shocked, terrorized, and frightened people out of their wits, and they lost their minds. And the people didn't, you know, and all the brave ones, most of them either got killed or fled away by themselves. And those who had become terror-stricken and frightened and become, like, very humbled, they served. And they're still serving today. And in the maintenance phase, is what you would see in, in any nation or whatever that's been conquered by any European nation, where they just start, I would say, like, even if they supposedly give the people independence, but they're controlling them in other means, through puppet government. They maintain white supremacy even by removing their presence. Like, one good example, the most ancient example, is India. How the Grecians pulled out, but yet they left a hegemony. They left a buffer class there. And that buffer class made sure to infuse white supremacy in its culture and its spirituality so that the white man didn't necessarily have to be physically present running everything. It became, the black man became running his own white supremacy. It's crazy. And then the expansion is when you see them sailing all over the world, like in the 15th century, just going places, finding non-white people and just conquering them with this white supremacy. Now, I understand when they're conquering the people, they're not waving the flag saying, hey, we the white supremacists, we the master race, like you hear them talking on TV at Klan rallies or in political speeches in the 1940s or the 1920s when they were openly saying that. They only said they was a master race only after they subjugated you. But when they met the people, they were like, hey, how you doing? We're brothers among men. And they're talking good to them until they get them chains on you and get you on that ship. Then it's another story. So, anybody got any thoughts on that?
Pretty much.
All right.
And right now, we see it still going on today.
Right. And here in the
they're leaving Iraq right now, and with the agreement that they will run things the way that they were told to run it,
mm-hmm.
with a puppet government in place, nobody who's any threat. And they succeeded in that. Another one down.
Right. Right. And they're going to benefit from that group being there. They're going to profit in every way imaginable from that kind of a hegemony. And that's why for the middle race, how are they going to benefit? They're going to extract all the human and mineral and natural resources from Iraq. That's what they're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And Iraq is going to get nothing. That's what they're going to get.
And, you know, there was just recently an article on the Internet. I can't remember which paper it was from. It may have been CNN. But it was an article talking about how they changed the attitude and the minds of the young people so that it would function in a way that was beneficial to the United States. This is mm-hmm. something they say clearly. You know, with white supremacy.
Right.
I was just about to get into the minds. That's exactly what I was about to say to me, because I recently put up an article about these babies now that they're able to make without the man. They don't need the semen. They can do something with stem cells and make babies.
Mm-hmm.
And most anyone, I think, with a bit of humanity left saw how atrocious that would be. But then there was someone who made the comment that, you know, why are we afraid of science? And, you know, it's so funny because the manner of thinking is such that white supremacy and all of this has been cloaked, you know, behind advancement, science, further, you know, evolution, you know, furthering man, all of these things, these grand and altruistic thoughts that have plagued the minds of those who I think want to just make an excuse
for the system as it stands and to make an excuse for going along with it. So they allow their minds to be cloaked, you know, in that kind of thinking,
mm-hmm.
like what you were just speaking of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just go along to get along, and we convince ourselves that I think that's a good thing because
it's for the good.
It's all
for the good, right? And everything that's bad, it's our own fault. We could just pull ourselves up by bootstraps and move along,
because that isn't
a problem anymore. That's old. This isn't the 50s and 60s. And that's unfortunate because once we get caught up into that, you know, type of circular reasoning, then we don't really see the exits because there's no reason to exit. Because everything's great, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Right.
But you have
because
to
it's too much work.
Time.
It's too much work. And that's what our ancestors felt. It was just too much work. You know what? The white supremacists didn't think it was too much work to go and conquer the world.
No, they did not.
It was worth it. It was worth it
like
to conquer everybody, brainwash them, and then harvest all of the resources on the planet and continue to rape it into oblivion.
With impunity. Like the lecture that you put up where the guy was explaining that Europe was a hot mess when they left it. Remember that?
Yeah,
exactly.
He admitted it.
Yeah.
He was on there just saying Europe was trash. He said they were trash for nearly 1,000 years. And he said when we came to America, we had fresh air, we had crops, and our life expectancy improved. And I was sitting there watching. I said, no, you had it because you took it. You stole from it because. So they were poor custodians of the resources in their own land. They had violated the principles of the deity, the creator, where they were living in their own habitation, and they came to where other people had been good stewards of the resources of the creation, and they murdered them, and they stole everything, and then they trashed the creation. That's what it is. They trashed this place.
Yes, that's
and
what they do.
They talk about rewilding the Americas and then going and raping Africa again, giving it a one more go because there's so many resources.
They destroy everything. They have the touch of death. But this is what I want to understand. We only have a minute left, so I know we can't get into it. I said they have the touch of death. But this is what I wanted to say. Why is it that they have been successful in doing this? Why is everybody sleeping on this?
Everybody's stupid. That must be the only reason I can come up with. Stupid.
I mean, everywhere they go, they do this unchanged, unchallenged, unchecked. They do this everywhere they go.
Well, Mr. Nizapula says white people are the smartest races. He said white the races, but I said white people the same thing, are the smartest people on the planet. This is their day. He's right. I mean, they know that nobody else has good enough to put what's dead. And so, Lord, they take it.
They go in selling you. They go in selling you on their dream, on this is what I have to offer you, and this is why you need me. They, you know, they go in with that, no matter what they're
but
trying
everybody,
to take over.
Everybody keeps falling for that, though.
After you do it long enough, you become skilled, I guess. I don't know.
Wow. All right, that's it. We got 30 seconds, Charles. You can close it on out.
All right, well, join us again next week. We'll pick up on page 35 and cover the two basic methods of practicing racism. And that's what we'll pick up on page 35 of Professor and Mr. Neil Pulley, United Independent Compensatory Code System Concepts, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action of racism by supremacy. And we'll see y'all next week. Thank y'all for coming out and tuning in. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.